is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, joins me. Malcolm is in Jerusalem, and his commentary directed to talk about the turmoil throughout the Middle East because of Iran and other bad actors that are clients of Iran's. We begin, however, with a conversation about Iraq. Most recently, an Iran-backed militia, a drone attack attempting to assassinate the Prime Minister of Iraq. Nothing about this story is sensible except for there it is, it happened. And to help us understand what it means is Michael Knights. He joins the Jill and Jay Bernstein Fellow at the Washington Institute. Michael, an assassination attempt against a prime minister of a sovereign power, not any sovereign power, a neighbor of Iran's, and a country that's been in turmoil for many decades. What was the Iranian intent? Why attack Kadima now? What did they hope to gain? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you. Well, the Iranians have a degree of responsibility in this case because they're the ones that put these drones in the hand of Iran-backed militias like Assad al-Haq and Qatar Hezbollah, who've between them killed hundreds of Americans. Whether they actually ordered this specific action is a little bit more murky. There's been a severe loss of command and control within the Iranian network since we killed their paramilitary leader, Qasem Soleimani, in January 2020, and the Iraqi paramilitary leader, Abu Mahdi al-Mohandis, on the same night, in the same car. And now we're beginning to see some of the groups taking matters into their own hands when Iran tells them to de-escalate.
There's no possibility that anybody could have carried off such a sophisticated drone attack without the backing of external forces, meaning Iran. Is there any other possibility, and isn't there evidence of previous attempts on his life?
Yeah, there are a number of moments when Iran-backed militias have flown drones into his house. It's a small villa on the banks of the Tigris, where I was just this summer. I was standing exactly the spot where the bomb came down on the front doorsteps. They've done it before, albeit without the explosive warheads as a warning. They've also surrounded him when he's been moving mobile. They've also abducted and murdered members of his intelligence staff. And they've also parked anti-aircraft cannons outside his house. Now, they can't do that anymore. And as a result, what they're doing is to throw drones at him to try and intimidate him and intimidate other Iraqi politicians by saying, if we can throw a drone at the top guy in the country, you can imagine what we would do to you.
The winner of the most recent Iranian election was not said to be Kadimi. This is just talk. But was said to be Muqtada al-Sadr. Al-Sadr is well known to the American public, dating back to the early days of the Iraq conflict. He was an opponent of the United States at one time. How does Sadr's success fit into this puzzle about why kill Kadimi now?
So Muqtada al-Sadr certainly has been a staunch opponent of U.S. military presence in the Middle East, and he remains a staunch opponent of Israel, generally speaking. That being said, he is an Iraqi nationalist and has pushed back strongly on the Iran-backed groups within Iraq. And so as a result, you know, he stands out as the least bad option, I guess you could say at this moment, least bad realistic option. Now, being that he's the largest bloc in the Iraqi parliament right now, he has the opportunity to nominate the next Iraqi prime minister, and he is preferred candidate for that position at the moment seems to be Mustafa Kadhimi, because he's worked alongside in the last 2 years that Mustafa Kadhimi was prime minister. And he's grown to see that Kadhimi is a nationalist like him, that the Iranian militias hate Kadhimi and indeed try and kill him occasionally. And that Kadhimi has excellent relations with the international community. Even the Pope sent a letter to Kadhimi asking how he was after the assassination attempt and suggesting, you know, strong backing for him. So for the moment, Academy and Muqtada al-Sadr are pushing in the same direction to reduce the power of Iranian-backed militias in Iraq.
So enemy of my enemy is my frenemy? Is that what, how we're supposed to read this? That they're not pals, they're not allies, but they're going and they're facing the common foe.
Yes, and there's a degree of probably trust between them because neither has let the other down over a two-year period.
Malcolm?
When Saddam's strategy, the militias, seems to be very slow and frustrating to those who want to seek heavier action. I know in the first term it was believed that he was curtailing their power. What has happened and what do you think he will do after this attempt? Will he step up those efforts?
Well, right now he's the caretaker prime minister of Iraq. You know, we had the elections, but we haven't had the new government formation yet. So loath to take a huge security action during caretaker status, I think we'll need to see whether he gets a second term, you know, a full term, full four-year term at the end of this government formation process. If he does, then, you know, it's very clear that within the next 4 years, the critical moment will happen eventually, whereby the security forces do put the militias back in their rightful place. And, you know, it'll be months or years before that happens.
Is Iraq organizing in some fashion that is new, Michael, to your opinion? Is this looking more like a state that's independent of Iran as opposed to a client state?
Yes, and that's been happening since late 2019. First, the protesters pushed back on the Iran-backed militias very bravely. Then we saw Khatami come in as prime minister over the militias' objections. And now we have even Muqtada al-Sadr saying U.S. trainers can stay. You know, the people who are really disrespecting us is the Iranian government. So things are certainly, in my view, moving in a better direction, considering the very dark place they were in the summer of 2019, when the Iranian militias basically controlled the Iraqi Prime Minister Adel Abdelmahdi back then.
The fact that he's not a leader of a political party, do you think he can form a coalescence in the aftermath of the shakeup of the October election and whatever successes are attributed to him from his first term?
Well, his lack of having a political party is a very deliberate strategy because in Iraq, no political party gets enough seats to be able to justify getting the prime ministerial slot. So they always pick a compromise candidate from outside the main parties. So he stayed outside of having a party structure so that he could be chosen as the, you know, as the kind of compromise candidate. And this bombing is going to probably improve his chances somewhat. Muqtada al-Sadr has demonstrated since the bombing that he supports Khatami strongly. He walked him around Sadr City in Baghdad, where he was kissed by old people and people in wheelchairs and children. And it was showing that, you know, Mustafa al-Khatami, the militias might try and kill him, but he can go walk around the streets of Baghdad in areas where Muqtada al-Sadr's people are standing between him and the other militias.
Michael, to speak in general, because I look at this from the outside, are we talking about a ray of sunshine in Iraq that we've not imagined for decades? Something to break up the storm clouds that have occupied their sky?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of this year, we're going to be moving to a non-combat mission in Iraq, but we're not being evicted. Our most intransigent opponent in Iraq, Muqtada al-Sadr, is saying that we can stay. Iraq hosted a visit by the Pope. It hosted a regional summit of all the regional powers. It's getting support from the Gulf states, finally. It can work with anyone, and it seems to have returned to the region in a way that it hasn't since probably the 1960s as a neutral power. So, yeah, something is going right in the country. The oil prices are high, thank God. And the next thing they need to do is some economic reform, or the next time they get a major oil price crash, you know, their economy will go kaput again, maybe for the last time.
Malcolm Knights at the Washington Institute. He is in Boston, Massachusetts. Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents. He's in Jerusalem, Israel. And John Batchelor, he's in Western Connecticut. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.